You're listening to His Time. It is Friday, July 10th. That means it is time for Creation Club. Good morning, Pastor Wirth.
Good morning, Andy.
Happy Friday to you, sir.
And to you as well.
How are things going this week? Are you building your ark?
Pretty soon we're going to need to. It's getting a lot of rain here.
I think somebody told the folks over at Answers in Genesis, they gave them some sort of hint because they've been working on theirs for a little while now.
They have been, and that will certainly be a wonderful trip to go visit one of these days. I'm not expecting to board it, hoping that it'll save us from flood water. Thankfully, we have God's rainbow promising that won't happen again. But also we have this promise of the coming of our Savior Jesus, who will give us everlasting life. And that's what this program and all the programming on KFUO is about. Jesus Christ, crucified and raised for our salvation.
Indeed, indeed. Well, upcoming event, this Monday, the Missouri Association for Creation has an event coming up,
that
correct?
Is correct. Missouri Association for Creation has their monthly meeting this Monday, the 13th of July at 7 p.m. They'll be meeting at Hope Congregational Church, 4200 Brown Road in St. Louis. All are welcome. There's no admission charge. The main speaker is Bill Barnes. He'll be speaking on the topic that's certainly relevant in the controversies going on today. He's talking about race, human origins, and worldview, and showing how racism and racial strife may be consistent with an evolutionary worldview, but certainly not with a biblical worldview that teaches that we're all one human race, all descendants of Adam and Eve. And he's got a lot to say about that, both from a biblical point of view as well as from a scientific point of view. Bill worked as a material scientist for 15 years in the defense and aerospace industries, and he's also very knowledgeable about creation stuff. So anybody living in the St. Louis area, Monday, July 13th, 7 p.m. at Hope Congregational Church, 4200 Brown Road, Bill Barnes from the Missouri Association for Creation speaking on race, human origins, and worldview. For our listeners who aren't able to come to St. Louis for this, a lot of the same material is available at answersingenesis.org. They've got books, videos, a lot of things on that whole subject about race and how the various races came about. People have that question, and they have a lot of interesting information about that, and ultimately it goes back exactly to what the Bible says about how we were created, and then of course the dispersal of people after the Tower of Babel and so forth. So there's a lot of good information at answersingenesis.org that just talks about the same kind of thing that Bill Barnes will be talking about here Monday, July 13th at 7 p.m. at Hope Congregational Church in St. Louis.
Well, thanks be to God for an opportunity to gather together to hear this conversation and to think more deeply about this, that what God's word has to say on humans and human race, human origins. Yeah, great opportunity. Speaking of humans, I saw you have a very interesting topic for us today, transhumanism.
Transhumanism, yes. Again, at Answers in Genesis, I just picked up in an article the other day that caught my fancy. And I thought, oh, that's something interesting to talk about, from talking about human beings and human races to transhumanism. What on earth is transhumanism? This is from Wikipedia. Transhumanism is an international, cultural, and intellectual movement with an eventual goal of fundamentally transforming the human condition by developing and making widely available technologies to greatly enhance human intellectual, physical, and psychological capacities. Transhumanist thinkers study the potential benefits and dangers of emerging technologies that could overcome fundamental human limitations, as well as the ethics of developing and using such technologies. The most common thesis put forward is that human beings may eventually be able to transform themselves into beings with such greatly expanded abilities as to merit the label post-human. And as the transhumanist article on Wikipedia is very long, I checked out some other ones too. But if you read all the way through it, it's founded in a idea of evolution and the idea that now humans are so far evolved that we will be able to control our own evolution and make it become super evolved. by technological means. And so what that involves, for example, is that, first of all, we've studied DNA, and so now the more we learn about DNA and how the genetic code works, we will intentionally be able to tinker with our own DNA and make super people. And there are those who are already proposing having designer babies. In other words, that you try to make babies that will be Superman by tinkering with that. And then also the other aspect of technology, one of the other aspects of technology that they're really excited about in terms of giving us the power to become supermen, is artificial intelligence. In other words, using computers and finding a way to interface the human brain and the human mind with computers and the connectivity of computers through the web and this kind of thing to make sort of a super brain, so that you know we would be able to upload our thoughts and download thinking and knowledge and so forth. And if we can do that, that's another inspiration for them, that we can evolve to a new level. Others talk about other machines too that we use that could be used, and we can think of science fiction movies where you know people really buy into that idea. And so you can have like the X-Men and stuff like this, where you're part man and part machine, and you're impervious to pain, and you're able to have superhuman powers and this sort of thing. And of course, people also are hoping that medical technology will advance to such a way that we will be able to reverse the effects of aging, cure all diseases, and even have immortality. You see that this, well, a lot of the people who believe in this transhumanism stuff are agnostics and atheists, and yet there are those who do see a spiritual dimension to them, to this, and for some of them, transhumanism as a philosophy sort of replaces Christianity or other religions with the idea that we can become immortal, we can have eternal life, we can achieve perfection. And so why would you want to be normal if you could be perfect? And we can achieve perfection by our human efforts through technology, through learning and science, and that's quite the idea. And the idea also then would be that the human race would evolve to such a point that we would be Superman.
Let's talk about where this began in history. Let's go back to, as I was looking through the article, the early 1930s in this group, the technocrats.
Yeah, what an interesting idea there. During the Great Depression, and this is from an article, let me just so we can acknowledge this, an article by Calvin Smith that's posted on Creation Ministries International. And in his research on this subject, he said in the early 1930s, during the Great Depression, a social movement called technocracy became highly popular in the USA for a brief period. The technocrats proposed dealing with the crisis of the Great Depression by replacing politicians with scientists and engineers who supposedly had the technical expertise to manage the economy. The technocracy movement may be traced to the progressive engineers of the early 20th century, and such as the writings of Frederick Taylor, who introduced the concept of scientific management. Although there were a variety of technocratic groups and organizations in a number of countries, its most visible figurehead in the U.S. was Howard Scott, who popularized the writings of technocrats like Thorstein Veblen, a professor and published economist. And what was at the root of the concepts championed by this man would be Darwinism, right? And that's the whole thing. He understood and applied Darwinian principles to his analysis of the evolution of socioeconomic institutions. He knowingly applied the Darwinian principles of variation, inheritance, and selection to institutional evolution. Now, once you're talking about institutions as opposed to biology, you're already doing a little sleight of hand there, and I think that's, we have to be careful of that in this, since we often talk about biological evolution versus what the Bible teaches about our creation. we need to acknowledge that the term evolution can be used a lot of different ways, and one has to be specific as to what one is talking about. And so if evolution just means change over time, nobody disagrees with that, and that things can change over time, automobiles, airplanes, institutions like socioeconomic or political institutions. These things can change over time, but that's not the same thing as what when you're talking about Darwinian biological evolution, and particularly when that's used in the sense of starting out with non-living chemicals and winding up from that with life, and then life in all its diversity and complexity as we have it today. It's a very different thing. And so this idea of transhumanism goes beyond just talking about economies and politics and this sort of thing, and gets to the idea that there's a very much a connection with eugenics. And since you were talking about the 1930s and so on, think about what's going on both in the United States and across the pond, you know, with Nazi Germany and in our own country with Planned Parenthood, Margaret Sanger, people like this who had this idea that we could develop a superior race if we would eliminate all those who are inferior. And people at that time included ideas that certain races were inferior, and Jews are inferior, blacks are inferior, and then also even taking people who had any kind of disability,
right.
and eliminating them. So if there was a mental or physical disability of any kind, that those people should be eliminated. People who are not as strong and robust, smart, beautiful, you know, name all the attributes that you would consider desirable in a perfect race. Anybody who doesn't measure up to that standard is fair game to be eliminated from the human race. And we see that in Nazi Germany, they were very, very much took that to heart in terms of rounding up people and killing people. And in our own country, too, even to this day, the effects of Planned Parenthood with this idea that, you know, we should eliminate children who are somehow not perfect in our eyes. And it ties in with the idea today people do want to have designer babies. They if there's an ability to pick and choose children, they want to be able to pick and choose children and their characteristics in terms of physical and mental abilities. If we were able to do it, you know, people would climb on the bandwagon, and there are already those who are seeking to do that kind of thing. So it's people wanting to play God and think that they can create super people. But what's wrong with this? I mean, we can talk about what's wrong with it morally, ethically, biblically, biologically. There's a whole lot of different ways one can look at what's wrong with this transhumanism. And certainly, you know, as Bible-believing Christians, we realize that this is wrong to think we can play God, and that we should consider people not of worth as being created by God if they somehow lack perfection that we ourselves as human beings would deem them to be imperfect if they have any kind of physical or mental disability or something like this, or are of the wrong, in human terms, race or ethnic group, that we could think we can just kill them and instead only allow the people to live and reproduce that are of the superior race. I mean, this is a horrible, horrible idea. And I would think all our listeners would see and understand that. But also, it's also stupid to think that we can evolve ourselves and that, first of all, we didn't evolve to be where we are now, and we've had many opportunities to talk about this on this particular program and are thankful for the materials available to us through organizations such as Answers in Genesis and the Creation Museum that help us understand both biblically and scientifically why human evolution is not true. But just think about it. Now, if I could create a computer, can I hook up to that computer and will it control my DNA and pass on to my children any changes, you know, and that doesn't make any sense at all. Now, it's one thing to, you know, and people are doing this too. We talk about genetically modified organisms, GMOs. that's a lot in the news, too. And so mm-hmm. part of these, what these people are proposing is that we would do the same thing with human that we're doing now with things like wheat and agricultural things, that people would be treated like commodities in that regard, that we would experiment with changing people's DNA, hoping that doing that we could advance evolution, and that would be something that would be passed on to our offspring if we could change the DNA and change it in such a way that it would be passed on from parents to children and in that way change us. But again, what God says in the beginning is still the case. People are able to reproduce after their own kind, just as all living things from the beginning can only reproduce after their own kind. You know, with breeding, with animal breeding, you know, we can control things and produce cattle that produce a lot of beef or pork that's lean, and we can control the breeding of corn and beans and wheat and things like this. But corn is still corn, and beans would still be beans, and people are people, and cows are cows, and pigs are pigs. Nothing ever reproduces after something other than its own kind. There's variation within a kind, and with selective breeding, artificial selection, that is, by farmers controlling what breeds with what, you can have a certain amount of variation to get what we would consider preferred offspring. You always reproduce after your own kind. With human beings, one could try to control breeding and say, these people are not going to be allowed to reproduce, and these people, we're going to say, you are going to marry you, so we have the perfect babies. But we're not going to be able to come up with supermen. We're all, from the fall of Adam onward, contaminated by sin and the consequences of sin, which includes sickness and suffering and death, and all of these things are not going to be overcome by human efforts. Thank God there is a way, and that way is Jesus Christ. God sent his Son, who bore our sins in his body on the accursed tree of the cross, died and rose again so that we might have forgiveness and eternal life. And when he comes again in the resurrection, there will be no more sickness, no more sin, no more pain, no more death. And then we will be in paradise as God designed from the beginning.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor Wirth.
You're welcome.
Have a great weekend. God's blessings.
God bless you.
Coming up in just a little bit, morning prayer.